You're listening to Omer V'Chazara with the Nihalis Merik Maseches Shabbos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're starting the two dots of Tes Zayin Amud Beis. So we're going through the 18 Gzeros that's the study we've been doing for a couple of blot. And so I forgot what number we're up to. Are we up to like 11, somewhere around there. We're over halfway through. We knocked off about 9 or 10 in that first Mishnah. We're going through a few more now. But actually, it's complicated because there are a few different ones that, like the Benos Kusim, if you include that. But ultimately, we're going to conclude with 10. Sorry, 18. V'idoch mai, so mai hi. So what's another one? What's another one of these Gzeros? So it's not that we learned in the Mishnah, Kol ha-mitaltlen mavin es atuma ba'ove Hamar Deya. So all metaltalin, things that are movable, that are not attached to the ground, so they will bring about tuma, ba'ove hamar deya, as long as there is a thickness of an ox goad, a goad, which is G-O-A-D, some sort of rod that was used to prod animals, get them to move. So let's take a look at Rashi over here. So Rashi says that what does it mean? Mevi and tuma. So mishum ohel, that'll transmit tumas ohel. Shem ihel rosho echad al hames rosho echad al kelim mevi lehem tumas ohel hames. And we'll explain what that is in a moment. So this metaltalin, this object, this that has the thickness of an ox goad or a goad. I don't know if it matters what animal use it for. So it's going to transmit tumas ohel if it goes over that, which is l'tame zayin yamim lios avatuma kedin ohel tame. That will become like an avatuma, and the person who comes in contact with that will be an avatuma, and he has to go through a week long purification process of tumas ohel. So that's going to be a din derban. And so Rashi then elaborates on ba'ove hamardeya. So afilu in vehem pasach tefach ela ka'ove hamardeya. Its width is only the width of a mardeya. Now, in general, for something to be an ohel, it would need a tefach width, and then that's considered an ohel. Over here, though, a mardeya is going to be less than that. L'kama mefarish yesh behekefo tefach chut tefach tzarech la'kifo, meaning that there's like a circumference, right? A circumference of a tefach on this ox goad. Meaning the ox goad does not have a width of a tefach. It only has the circumference of it, but that'll be enough. Midrabana, and this is the gzera that we're going to be more strict on the typical standard for a mardeya, but because normally it would be a tefach. Yeah. So the gzera is that even if it doesn't have the width of a tefach, and it's only the width of a standard goad, a mardeya, which is smaller width and only has a circumference of a tefach, nevertheless it'll be a nevertheless it'll count as an ohel, right? And it's it seems to be that the reason is that so that people wouldn't be confused, right? That people will see, you know, they'll just like to make it like a low plug almost, and that'll be an ohel. So Amar Rabbi Tarfon says regarding this.
I do wonder though.
Yeah.
Chazal never concerned that these zeros might backfire, and then people would assume that it's the width of a mardeya for non-cylindrical items.
I think we can ask that question a lot, and the answer must have been that you know, they waited out, and they thought you know, what was the, you know, what the exact question is. Meaning, like, there are a lot of things that, like, I said, if I were there, I would not have decreed it. Like, I would have made different decrees. Like, for example, when it comes to Sifrei Kodesh being Matame Yadayim, right? So according to Rashi, it's, you know, to prevent people from storing their food with, you know, with Svarim, because then mice would come and, right. So I would have, instead of saying that Svarim make your hands tame, I would have said, like, you know, a rule about no, you know, no putting your food with the Svarim or something else. The answer must be that, you know, that they felt that was an effective way that they, you know, they thought that they wouldn't listen to this era, but they would listen to this when it comes to Tum and Tahara. And there's, like, some sort of, you know, cheshbon and some algorithm and moving pieces that they felt was, you know, more or less, you know, susceptible to mistakes. But I hear your question. I definitely hear it. So, but Rabbi Tarfon doesn't like this in general. He says, ikbach as benai is a very strong term, that his children should be like cut off, or, you know, cut off. Shazu halacha mikupachas, because this is a cut off, messed up halacha. It doesn't make sense. Sheshama hashomea v'ta. It must be that the listener heard it and made a mistake, meaning that there's no way this could be accurate. Rashi says, Mitzar haya al Torah mishtakachas umekalel es atzmo. He cursed himself. He cursed himself and his own children because of how pained he was on this mistaken Torah. It's a lesson of chituch, of kitzur, of cutting. Like, it's, you know, very strong lesson. He was very, very disturbed by this mistake in halacha. He says, you know, Sheshama Hashamea, Kishin Nishala, Hasha'ela, Al Yidei Maisa Bebez Midrash, Veshama Hashatamohu, Vetav, Lo Yada Mishum Matamohu, Him Tamoes Amardea, Mishum Kelim Amayilim Alameis. Right, so actually, the Gemara is going to even go to explain, like how this came about. But he says that cannot be the halacha. It's not that we're concerned that people will mix up a circumference and the width of the goat. It doesn't make sense. So he says, so he says ha'ikar over umardo al ksefo. So there was a farmer who was passing by with the mardeya, the goat on his shoulder. The ihel tsido achas al kever. And the side, and one side of it was over a kever, timu oso, and they, meaning the rabbanon, were matamehim, and mishum kelim hamayilim alames, because of the kelim that were over the mace, and that's this story that was mistaken, and therefore Rabbi Tarfon says that it cannot be that's the decree. We're going to get back into a minute of what Rabbi Tarfon must hold the 18 things are. But before we do that, Rabbi Kiva says, Ani etkein, I'm going to fix it up. I'm going to fix up the phraseology of that decree. I'm going to limit it to some degree. Shehu divrei chacham kayamim. In order that the words of the chacham should be, should be able to stay alive, stay in the game. Shehu kol matatim avinu satuma al adam shenosi osan ba'ovei amardeya v'al atman b'chol shehem v'al shar adam v'kelim b'poseach tefach. So he says, he's going to limit it to some degree. He says that all matatlin bring tuma upon a person who carries them, if it has the thickness of a mardeya. The al atzman, and on himself, right? So meaning that, right? The al atzman on themselves, meaning these metalton, they become tuma themselves, bechol shehem, no matter how no matter what the thickness of the kalim that are over the grave, they'll become tame themselves. The alshar adam vechalim, and on other people and kalim, not the one carrying them, that's b'poseach tefach. That they need the width of a tefach over here when we're talking about a round object. It's going to be the diameter, right? The diameter is going to be the width of a tefach, which is what we would expect in general for something to be an ohel. So the limitation is that it's specifically, when do we say that it's even if it's not the width of a tefach, but it's the width of a standard goad, which is a circumference of a tefach, but that doesn't have the diameter of a tefach. So when do we say that was? So that's only if that's ala adam shenose. Only that is where ba'ove emardeya it'll be for somebody else that's under, not the person carrying it, then it needs to be a full tefach. So Rabbi Kiva just limited this decree, but indeed holds of this decree, unlike Rabbi Tarfon, who completely rejected it. And so that is his on the list. Now the Gemara is just gonna explain a little bit of some of these pratim that we already saw in Rashi of what it is about Mardeya. But Rabbi Yanai, Mardeya Shamru Ein Ba'avyo Tefach. So just to clarify, it would have been nice to say it earlier. That's what Rashi does. Rabbi Yanai clarifies that the Mardeya that we're talking about in our discussion is one that has its thickness, its diameter is less than a tefach, right? V'yesh be'kefo tefach, but its circumference is indeed a tefach. V'gazur ala kefo mishum avyo. And they made a gzera because of its circumference. Sorry, they made a gzera on its circumference because of its diameter, its thickness. Right. So, because you're allocating mishum avyo. Yeah. Right. So they just made a little plug for that, so that people wouldn't get confused. So now back to Rabbi Tarfon and the 18 zeros. Well, Rabbi Tarfon damar akapach esbanai. So Rabbi Tarfon, who says that, right, he was very disturbed with this. Shahalach azuma kapachas. So butzulu. So he has fewer than 18 now, right? Because let's say he agrees with everything that we said so far and everything that we're going to say. Later, he's only going to come out with 17 in the end because he disagrees with this gazera. He thinks that this gazera was mistakenly shared. So, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, af benos kusim, mari sasan. Right, so sasan, bo bayom gazru. That we mentioned this on the previous Amud, that the daughters of the kusim, their status of nidos right away while they're still in their cribs. Ubeidach svira le krib meir, and the other one holds according to a meir. So if you just to go back a little bit, we explained that one of the xeros is only l'shitas krib meir, right, regarding the kalim, because he holds that if you put a metal in a kli, right, you have a glass kli, the kli is schuchis, and you put metal in it, then it becomes as if it's a metal kli, and that was only according to Rabbi Meir and not according to Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi held not, so we excluded the case of the nidos. So now that Rabbi Tarfon includes the case of the nidos, and we said that was only according to Rabbi Yossi, right, so it must be that Rabbi Tarfon holds like Rabbi Meir. Is that clear one more time?
Yeah, I mean, it's math. If he doesn't...
right, because... This was our backup one for anybody who holds against Rabbi Meir. The Benos Kusim that are Nidos Meir Sadasan. So that was our backup for anybody who holds against Rabbi Meir, so that, like Rabbi Yossi, so we held that for him. So now that we're relying on that backup... So then you if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, you have nothing left to say. So it must be that Rabbi Tarfon holds like Rebbe Meir. Because again, Rabbi Tarfon and Rebbe Meir and Rabbi Yossi are all after Shammai and Hillel. They're after. So they need to subscribe to these 18 gezeros which came before them. So everyone, they have to have their own list. Like, for example, like we know there are 613 mitzvahs, we just don't know what they are. So whenever you have a Rishon who disagrees with, let's say, for example, the Rambam's list of 613, so he says, no, that's not a mitzvah, so you got to provide another one because we all subscribe to 613 overall. So over here as well, we have to have 18, and if you're going to take the, Rabbi Tarfon is going to disagree that with one of them, he needs to use the backup one, but if Rabbi Yossi already used it, he must hold like Rabbi Meir. Okay. Ve'idach. Okay. Give me another one. I'm enjoying these. Give me one more. What's another one of these cases? So ha'botze legas. This is regarding somebody who is betzira is a lashon of harvesting, in particular to grapes. So he is harvesting grapes for the gas for the wine press. So shamay omer huchshar. Hila Omer Lo Hukshar. By the way, we quoted this machlokus a daf ago, that this, right when we were discussing the three machlokusin of Hillel and Shammai themselves, and we offered two more. We said the Smicha one from Chagiga, maybe that's included. We said no, that's not included because that's a machlokus that they inherited. They had three of their own, and we said, well, what about this one? This is another one, and we rejected it as well because of the end of the story. So this is now we're actually going to learn it. So now you're harvesting these grapes in the wine press. So Shammai Omer Hukshar. So Shammai says that there is a hechsher, meaning that in order for foods to become susceptible to tuma, they have to go through a process called hechsher, which is where they have one of the seven liquids poured on them, and that is considered this process of hechsher. Now, it needs to be intentional. So, in order for it to become susceptible to tumah, it needs to have one of the shivas mashkin placed poured on it, but it also has to be what's called lirat. It has to be either intentional or something that the owner would be happy with, and we're going to have to qualify what that means. So in this case, the grapes that are harvested, there Shammai says that there's an automatic hukshar from the other grapes that are there that pour juice out onto those grapes, so that the hechsher is done. Well, we're going to speak about that in a little bit. And Hillel is going to disagree. Hillel Omer Lo Hukshar. Hillel says, no, it doesn't automatically have this Hukshar. So Omer Hillel Shammai. Hillel says to Shammai, Vibnei ma botzrin b'tahara. Ve'ein moskin b'tahara. And so Hillel says, why are you botzer in purity? Meaning that they were botzer b'tahara. They were harvesting. They would make sure to be harvesting while in a state of tahara. Because these things are if this hukshar, it's already susceptible to tumah. So if I'm tameh while harvesting them, if I'm tameh and they're not susceptible to tumah yet because their hukshar wasn't done, so it's okay, it's not a big deal. But if they are susceptible to tumah because they are hukshar, then I need to make sure that I'm harvesting them while I'm tahor. So he says, why are you guys botzer in b'tahara ve'ein moskin b'tahara? But you don't harvest olives. Moskin is lashon of harvesting olives. There are different types of lashonos of harvesting for different types of produce, right? We have kotzer by wheat and things like wheat, botzer by olives, by grapes, and moskin by olives. So basically what they're saying is, why don't you extend the prohibition, the gzera, to olives as well? Amar Leh, and he says to him, Shana says back to him, Im taknetani gozreni tuma afal misika. And he says, so he's like, if you're gonna start up with me, if you're gonna instigate, if you're gonna provoke me, then I will indeed be gozer to the tamal masika. I'm going to actually do it, right? Meaning
this is very important. Tosis to look at. It sounds like an empty threat.
That's an empty threat.
Because Mishnayis Machshir, the Tosis cites to, says that the initial discharge of an olive is a watery substance. It's not true olive oil.
Right.
So that's actually not one of the Zion Machshir. Mashayke grapes, whatever comes first, is actually grape juice.
Right. Right, but does that mean it's an empty threat? Meaning that might be a chiluk. What you're saying, what Tosfos is saying, is there might be a chiluk in the fact that that grape juice and the initial olive pressings are not equatable. You could say that
unless you argue that the watery discharge comes out of olives as the status of water. I don't remember from. If it may.
That'd be interesting.
In which case it would be a separate or one of Machshir.
Does Tosfos say that?
Tosfos doesn't know.
No, he's just Mechalik. But just because he's Mechalik doesn't mean that Shammai didn't mean what he said, right? Meaning he could say, yeah, there really is a chiluk, but if you're so confused and you're blurring the lines and you don't see that difference, so it's worth making a low plug.
In other words, not that it genuinely should be treated that way, but it's, as you're saying, a low plug, it's a derabanan.
Well, yeah, this is all gzeira, right? All this is a gzeira.
True. Once there's a chash that something might happen, this is even if something happens, there's really no halachic basis other than the fact that making a low plug, so people don't get confused between grapes
right.
and olives.
Yes, correct.
So that's possible.
Yeah. So anyway, so now to Cherev beBeis Medrash, they stuck a sword in the Beis Medrash, and Amru, and they said, HaNichnas Yichna Yikanes, someone wants to come in, feel free to come in, but just be forewarned. Vayotze al Yetze, but no one's allowed to leave, right? Meaning we got to get to the bottom of this halacha. We need a psak today. Vaso Hayom Hayahil Kafuf. And that day Hillel was bent over and sat before Shammai, as if he was a Talmud, and not the Nasi. And it was as difficult for Yisrael like the day that the Eagle was made. This is a very, very strong lashon. Rashi says Vishahil Nasi the Anavosan, right? That Hillel was humbled. He was the Nasi, and he was humbled like that. What's the connection with the comparison to the Echeta Egel? It's very interesting. So that was in Kashi Yisrael. Like, it was a bad thing that Yisrael did like that. It was such a painful thing. Was it the humbling of Aaron, or the humbling of Klal Yisrael? Whatever it was, but it was something that's very big. But Hillel was humbled, and this is why this machlokas is not included in the list of their three machlokas, and because Hillel ultimately accepted Shammai's decree, that day it worked out in his favor. What happens subsequently is interesting. V'gazer Shammai v'Hillel v'lo kiblu minayhu. So they made this gzeira and they didn't accept it from them. V'asu talmidayhu gazer v'kiblu minayhu. But ultimately their talmidim tried to follow up and institute this gzeira, and they were indeed successful. My time. So the Gemara wants to know what's the reason for the gzeira? Right? I mean, especially like originally Shammai. What is this concern? So Amar Zeira Mar Bechanina gzeira Shema Yitzrenu Bekufos Tebeos. So what might happen? So maybe they're gonna be botzer these grapes in kufos, right? Baskets that are tamei. Now, what's going to happen if they're put in the baskets? So if they're in there the baskets, so then they have been, the liquid has been collected, and since the liquid has been collected, it might be they'll be huchshar, and if that happens, at least, I mean, we're going to see actually the Gemara is going to say momentarily that it's actually a machlokas, but now if you have kufos tameos, you have these tummy baskets, so and the liquid is machshir the grapes, the grape juice that comes out of the grapes is machshir the grapes and their tamei baskets. So they're collected in the baskets. So it's considered having this chashivos, but then the baskets are going to make them tamei. So now we're gonna have a problem. So that's why they made the gzera. So now the Gemara says, hold on. Hanich levan damar kli tamei choshev mashkin shapir. So this makes sense. This is a real concern, according to the shita that a kli tamei makes it considered as if it's mashkin. Elaman damar ein kli tamei choshev mashkin ma'ikel ameimar. But perhaps, right? So, but this is really a machlokas in the Tanaim that perhaps if it's collected in a tamei kli, the owner is not happy with that. He's not happy that a tamei kli collected it, and therefore it wouldn't be considered hukshar. So it's a machlokas whether that would count or not. Is the fact that it's collected? It doesn't matter if it's a tamei kli that it's collected. That's enough to make the grapes hukshar, or do we say no? A tamei kli, the owner would never be happy with that. And therefore, it wouldn't be hochshar, and then it wouldn't be a problem. So now, what we said makes sense. It's a real concern of using kufos tomeos. That'd be a real concern when it comes to, according to that shita, that a kufa tomeo can be it can be machshir the grapes. But according to the shita, they're not. So what is the concern? So Ella Omer Ziri Omer Bichnina Gzera Shema Yivtzerena Bekufos Mizufafos. So the concern is that if it's in kufos that are mizufafos that have tar, that have pitch, that which are going to hold in the liquid, because there if the baskets are made in a way that it holds in the liquid, so it's clear that they're there for a reason, that it's machshir the grapes. So in that situation, it's machshir right away. So Shammai said that grapes automatically the juice that comes out, it's considered hukshar because otherwise it's going to be this confusion. And now we're going to have a couple other reasons as well. Rav Amar Gzeira Mishum Hanoshchos, that because of the noshchos, the clusters that cling. So Ashkelos Hanoshchos Zo as Zo, these clusters that cling together. Says Rashi, Ushabala Fridan Nischat Hamashkelehen. What's going to happen is that since these clusters have clung together, so the owner is going, the harvester, the boat's there, is going to separate them. And what's going to happen in the process is schita. There's going to be a juicing in that process. And if it's juicing it, then that's going to he did it intentionally, meaning he was there, he was involved, and then that's going to v'kevim avad b'yadayim, says Rashi, lo efshar b'lo shchita mechshar, and it's not possible that the shchita, so it's mechshar, meaning he actively did it on his hands, with his hands, so that would be mechshar it, where and this thing is expected to happen. And also, Amar of Nachman, Amar Abba Baravua, Pamim Shadim Holech LeKarmo. It happens that sometimes a person goes to his vineyard, Leda Im Higiyo Anovim Libetzira Olo. He wants to know if his things are ripe, if the grapes are ready for harvest or not. Venotel Eshkol Anovim. So he takes a cluster of grapes, Lesochto, in order to squeeze it, meaning he takes a grape, squeezes it, sees if the pressure or whatever, if it's ready for harvesting. Umizalef al gabe anovim, and then he sprinkles it on top of all the other grapes. Ubishas betzira adayin mashke tofeach aleihem, at the time of the betzira, it's the liquid is still tofeach aleihem, it's still wet on them. So. Again, over here we see that it's likely that that the person will sprinkle. It's dafka at the time of the betzira, by the way, because Because if they're still attached to the ground, then you can't be hochshar. It needs to be detached from it to be hochshar. So dafka during the betzira, it would need to be still wet with this hochshar, with the grape juice that he sprinkled on it. But over here, what we see is that it's another situation where it's very likely that they will be hochshar. So Shammai decreed that we consider them hochshar anyway. For any of these three or two, I think Rav and Rav Nachman might be two different answers, but it's the same basic idea. Three possibilities of why the hochshar could kind of happen almost on its own, and therefore we would be machmir for it. Okay, we'll call it here for today.